Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are quiet, some are loud. Some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Friends for a long, long time, ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low. Re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Yeah. Me and my 88, me and my 88. I love my 88, me and my 88 friends. We agreed early on we would play and sing the songs to give the glory to the of kings. He's the one who gave the harmony. Oh, come let us adore him. Me and my 88. Me and my 88. I love my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome to another edition of our podcast, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host, and this is episode 137. I decided to play the whole song this time around. This song was written in the 1980s, long before we ever thought about doing a podcast. I don't think podcasts were even invented back then. So I used to do this in concert. Most of you haven't heard the whole song. You just hear the I will sing you a song, they will help me along. So I thought I'd play the whole tune for you. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, Lawrence.
Brian Hoogenboom, our trusty engineer. I wrote that song because I made a vow to the Lord. If he would give me the gift of writing songs, they would always be about him. And so that whole song is basically me saying, I love my piano, but I've dedicated my piano to write songs about him. Oh, come, let us adore him. I thought that was kind of clever, bring the Christmas carol in there. So anyway, we're glad you're here with us tonight. And I want to go right on to another song that was recorded by our band, Damascus Road. And this is one of my favorite songs the Lord has ever given me. It's called When My Eyes Are On You.
Thank you. when my eyes are on you, and your grace is in view. If I stumble and fall, I can quickly stand tall when my eyes are on you. There's a place of peace where the struggles have ceased. I can quickly go there anytime, anywhere, when my eyes on you. Let me see your face. Let nothing obstruct the view. Just one glimpse of your grace is all I'm asking, asking of you.
On tonight's episode, we're going to talk about the subject of wisdom. How do we attain wisdom? One of the best pieces of wisdom I ever got was really what is the inspiration for the song we just played, When My Eyes Are On You. Both of my parents drilled into me over and over again, keep your eyes on Jesus, because people will disappoint you. Don't get your eyes off of him. If you keep your eyes on him throughout your life, that will be the wisest thing you will ever do. And I thank God for that wisdom. My wife Trish and I read Proverbs every morning. We get our coffee out and we pray together and we read a chapter of Proverbs. Now, we read other things on our own, but this is what we do as a couple. And it's been a wonderful thing to ponder all the wisdom that's in Proverbs month after month after month. And I've wanted to do some episodes on various truths that are in Proverbs. So tonight, my guest who is going to converse with me about Proverbs is my grandson, Dalton Rhodes. Dalton is a wonderful grandson, but he's also one of my best friends. I love to hang out with him, and he humors me by hanging out with this old man, this 74-year-old man. He's 22, and he's got one more course to finish this summer to graduate from Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, North Carolina. So Dalton and I are going to talk about the foundations of wisdom. What are the foundation stones to living a life and having a walk of wisdom? There's three or four pillars, or foundation stones, I should say, to how to become a wise person. So we had a conversation on the phone on July 6, 2023. So let's go to that. Me and my grandson, Dalton.
Hey, Big Paw.
Good afternoon, young man.
Good afternoon, old man.
You have reached legendary status now because this is the fifth time you've been on this show.
I know. I should just be your co-host.
You are. You're above everybody now. So, if you've never heard this show, this is my grandson, Dalton Rhodes. He calls me Big Pa. And when I was a lot more overweight, he used to call me Pig Pa.
Yeah, I did. And that got me in a lot of trouble whenever I was in elementary school that one time.
Yes, because you called the teacher fat and got expelled in kindergarten, of all things. Didn't you get sent home?
Yeah, I got sent home. So, you know, the way that you and I look around, I was under the impression it was just funny to laugh at people's, you know, overweightness. And so the first day of school, the teacher said, all right, guys, this is how class is going to go. Does anybody have any questions? And I raised my hand real tall and, you know, he was a little overweight. He says, yes, Dalton. I says, you're fat. I got no laughter from anyone in the class. Everyone was just shocked. And I got sent to the principal's office where they sent me home.
Your mother had to get off work and all things. What a great record. Expelled in the, what was it, kindergarten?
Yeah, it was like kindergarten, the first grade. I was super little.
Okay, so now you are about to finish college. You've got one more course.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's next?
Well, after this, I get in an undergraduate degree. And then next semester, I start my graduate degree, and I'm studying to be a speech-language pathologist. So in 2 years after graduate school has ended, I will be a practicing speech-language pathologist.
All right. We're proud of you. Now, I'm calling this episode Wisdom 101. I found out a while back that one of your favorite books in the Bible is Proverbs.
Mm-hmm. It is. It was whenever I first came to God, you know, I didn't know where to start whenever it came to reading the Bible, and I didn't like to read. But I came across Proverbs, where it's basically just these tiny little snippets of knowledge. There's not really any story in Proverbs. It's just little snippets of how to live life. And I was like, this is awesome. So I studied Proverbs. That was the first thing I read.
You just made up a word.
What word did I make up?
snippets.
What? No,
it's either
a,
no, it's tid is
word.
It's tidbits.
Is it tidbits
or snippets? But yeah, you merge the two. Snippets.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Well, you know what I meant.
So Proverbs is kind of like a box of fortune cookies. You pull them out, and you've got these little sayings, and it's 31 chapters, and a lot of times they repeat themselves, even in the same chapter. The same idea will come across. And I think he did that, Solomon did that, just to drill that into people's minds, like repetitiveness of it, just sort of brands it in your heart. Your grandma and I have read Proverbs every day for months and months. And we get a different translation every month, but I know you know this, but there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. Most of the months, there are 31 days in the month. So we read whatever corresponds to the date. Like today is July 6th. We read Proverbs 6. So we're going to talk about what runs through Proverbs, and that is wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, the advantages of wisdom. Everywhere you look, it's wisdom.
Yeah, I've heard people call the book of Proverbs the book of wisdom. And of course, most people listening will know, but some people might not, is that the writer of Proverbs, his name was, you know, he was King Solomon. And he was actually said to be like the wisest man that ever was. Of course, people know the story, but after King David died and he was going to become king, he basically saw God in a dream and was, God basically was like, hey, like, you know, if I can give you anything, what would it be? And King Solomon was like, you know, I'm just a kid without understanding, and I have a whole nation to lead. I was like, he was like, please give me understanding and wisdom. And God was like, okay, I'm going to give you wisdom. So he, you know, had great understanding and great amounts of wisdom. And this is one of the books that he's written. And so they call it the Book of Wisdom.
The word wisdom is one of the hardest words to define. I looked up several definitions, and they just—I don't—it's just hard to put in words. What do you think it means to be wise?
See, I've thought about this too, because it's wisdom is different than intelligence. Wisdom—the way that I like to think about wisdom is kind of like street smarts. It's like applied knowledge, like the way that you can apply certain knowledge that you gain from either experience or talking to other people that have gained that experience. Like you gain wisdom from, I think of it like this, you gain intelligence from talking to, you know, teachers and professors and gaining information from them, but you can gain wisdom from talking to just older people who have lived through life and have lived through certain experiences and things like that.
Yeah, I think wisdom has to do with what to do with the knowledge that you've got, how to apply it. I heard somebody say one time that knowledge, and it was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts is the word of knowledge. Another one is the word of wisdom. Where the word of knowledge, the way it was told me, is you're sitting in your living room and you just get this knowledge in your mind that there's a fire in the attic. That's knowledge. But wisdom would be what to do about it. Okay, there's a fire, but it's not going to do us any good just to know about it. What is the right action to do to solve the problem? So I think that's a lot about what wisdom is. So I've been studying the scriptures the last few days, and I came up with three foundations of attaining wisdom. There's more than that, I'm sure, but there's three big ones. You want to hear what the first one is?
Yes, yes, I'm super excited.
Okay, then why don't you read, and we're reading out of the NIV, why don't you read Proverbs 9, verse 10?
Okay, let me scroll to it. 9 verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it, right? That's what it says?
Yes.
And over in verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, the very foundation of, if you want to be wise, according to the Bible, the beginning of it is to fear God. Now, that's an odd topic because people don't like to be afraid. Fear can be a bad thing, can be a very bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even the Bible talks about how we, you know, how God doesn't put the spirit of fear in us. And so a lot of people wonder what this means. If he doesn't put the spirit of fear in us, then like, what does it mean to fear him? And I've even had friends who are not really Christian friends who kind of express their, how they don't agree with how people say we should fear God. They have this idea like, oh, you know, God's all loving. And so the way they don't think that fearing God is very biblical, but of course we know it is. So I guess we're going to unpack that today is what it actually means to fear God.
Oh, that's a little term that your generation, I think, has invented, unpack. We didn't have that term when I was growing up.
Did y'all not say that when you were growing up?
No. So we're going to unpack it. So why don't you flip the first latch of the suitcase or the briefcase? What do you think it means? What do you think it means to fear God?
Well, whenever I hear to fear God, I think of it as a respect thing. I think of a lot of the times whenever I think of God, I think of like our own parents, like my own parents, and how a parent kind of treats their kid. And a parent will lovingly discipline their kid and reprimand their kid if they're doing something wrong. And of course, anyone that knows, there is a certain fear to a parent's rebuke and a parent's discipline. I remember whenever I was a kid, I would do something wrong. And when my mom or dad or anybody would find out and they, you know, let me know they found out and I knew I was going to get in trouble, I was scared. I think it's a respect thing. And I think it's beneficial. I fear that he might take certain things away that he's kind of given me. Because before I knew God, you know, I remember how lonely and insecure and sad and shy I was. And it wasn't until after I got a relationship with God that I kind of, he started giving me joy and he started giving me confidence and things like that. And there is a fear that if I kind of start to get away from him and fade away from him, then he might take away those blessings that he's given me. And then I'll go right back to the same way that I used to be. So whenever I think of the fear of the Lord, it kind of is a healthy fear that keeps me on the right path, knowing that he could take away any blessings that he's given to me.
I think what people don't understand is you can still have great love for God and yet fear him too. The two are not opposite to each other.
The same way a parent goes. You can love your parents to death and still fear their discipline.
I had a very loving father. He was a lot of fun. I actually started working for him when I was in the sixth or seventh grade. I kept the store for him. He owned a store. And we had a wonderful relationship. However, my generation was raised in the old days. He had a size 48 belt. He never used it but once. But I knew I better respect him and I better obey him or there would be consequences. So I think a lot of it is the fear of consequences. And that's not just the fear of the person, like the fear of God. I was afraid of that belt. But sometimes, like when you get older, you realize that there will be consequences, maybe not God himself cracking down on you, but the fruit of one's actions leads to a lot of regret. I remember one time you and I had a talk. Is it okay for me to talk about this on the air?
Oh, yeah, it's totally fine.
I won't say what the incident was, but you were kind of cocky. You were in high school, early high school, maybe 8th or 9th grade, something like that. And you said to me, in effect, you said, "This is my golden time. And I just want to experience everything I need to experience in life. And then later, I will turn to God." And do you remember what I said to you?
Yeah, that what you said really resonated with me.
About the fine print. You need to read the fine print. And what was the fine print?
Yeah, you basically said you need to read the fine print. And to sin is that there's regret that comes with sin.
Yeah. That's what you're good. I can't believe you remember the actual word.
I remember that. That really resonated with me, especially because during that you were a good listener. Like you didn't like really rebuke me for feeling that way. You just kind of calmly gave me that word, and it made me just think like maybe what I'm doing is wrong.
Yeah, it's like the fun's there, and there is pleasure and fun. Even the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's always some sort of regret, and that you for the rest of your life you think, "Oh, I wish I hadn't have done that or said that or whatever." There's always a consequence, so I think that's a healthy fear. And the Bible says that's the very beginning of wisdom. If you start having a healthy fear of God and of the consequences of not listening to him. Would you ever have a cop pull you over and you just disrespect the guy and laugh in his face and call him names? Would you ever do that?
No, that wouldn't get me anywhere. I've been pulled over 5 times, too many times, but I've gotten out of almost all of them by just being nice to the cop.
Well, you know that the guy may be a nice guy, but he's also a guy with authority, and you just don't disrespect him. And that's the thing I was talking about my dad. I knew not to disrespect him. Maybe I could tell him my opinion, but there's a disrespect. And I think most unwise people don't have a fear of God. You know, that's what the Bible says. It's the very beginning of it, is the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of some of the worst advice you've ever been given?
Oh, some of the worst advice I've been given. Well,
hopefully it wasn't from me.
No, you give me good advice. The first thing that comes to mind is, I got a lot more whenever I first came to God by my friends. I was staying away from, having sex outside of marriage and things like that. And all my friends were giving me the worst advice. They were saying, "Bro, like, what are you doing? Like, God forgives." Like, they're saying that you're wasting these good years while you're young to have all this fun. You're totally wasting your life. You need to go out and have as much sex as you can and do all that stuff. That was some bad advice that was given to me, that I should just have sex with as many girls as I can before I get married.
What was your answer?
I just kind of started my relationship with God. And what I said was, that's not a way to, I said, they're missing the whole point of Christianity. I said, the whole point is to actually genuinely love God. And I say, whenever you genuinely love someone like your parent, you don't want to disobey them and hurt them. That's not real love. I said, what I do is I have a real relationship with God, and he tells me not to act this way. And out of love, I'm going to obey him.
Good answer.
miserable man. If I didn't know Jesus, I'd be one miserable man. Shoulder trembling and ashamed.
This is me and my 88 friends, and this is Lawrence Tuning, your host. We've been having a conversation on this episode with my grandson, Dalton Rhodes, about the different things we've been learning as we read the book of Proverbs. So let's go back to the rest of that conversation that we had on July 6, 2023. You got your Bible there?
Yeah, I got it.
Read me chapter 2, verses 1 through 8.
Okay. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying to your heart, or applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God."
Those verses say several things. How do you get it? First, you've got to accept his words, store them up. Then it says, turn your ear to wisdom. You ever heard people say, keep an eye out or keep your ear out? There might be somebody coming by, so listen out for them. So you've got your ears kind of trained to expect there might be a doorbell ringing or whatever. So what it says, turn your ear to it. Apply your heart to understanding. Then it says, call out for it. Cry aloud for it. So you're listening out for it. You're crying aloud for it. Then you're looking. It says, look for it as for silver. Search for it as for hidden treasure. Then you'll find it. So you got to listen for it. You got to dig for it. You've got to pray for it and cry aloud. It doesn't come automatic. So what do you think it means to seek wisdom? How do you seek wisdom?
Well, whenever I hear like seeking wisdom, I think it means to kind of stay curious and you know, ask wiser people and wiser sources than yourselves questions and stay open-minded to what they say. One way that I obviously seek wisdom is by reading the Bible, because what better experienced person can you hear from than God, who's the, you know, creator of the entire universe. So whenever I look at, you know, how he just like tells us to live our lives and kind of listen, I look at his teachings as wisdom and try my best to obey them.
You know, as a songwriter, you're got your ear out to hear little phrases and conversations that might be a song title or might be a song. There's a famous rock and roll song, Motown song, called "I Second That Emotion." And the way that was written, Smokey Robinson was with a friend. Smokey Robinson was a famous singer, still is. He's a famous songwriter. He was with a friend, and it was Christmas time, and he and his friend were going to buy their wives a present. So his friend bought something in this store, and it just came out of Smokey's mouth, "I second that emotion." And all of a sudden it hit him. And he said, "Oh, that's a song." But you're listening out, just like you're listening out for wisdom. There was another country song. It was called "Kiss This." And the guy and his wife, they co-wrote songs together. They got in a big argument, terrible argument. And he said, "Oh, baby, give me a kiss." And she turned around and hit her rear end, and she said, "Kiss this." And they both stopped, and they said, "We have a song that we can write over that, Kiss This." And it was a big, big country hit. So I'm saying all that to say, you know, we listen out for it. We have our ears tuned, that we can get answers if we look for it and listen for it and search for it and ask for it. Many times I ask God, even today, for wisdom. I heard a story about a guy on an airplane. I think I've told this to you before. But this guy was in an airplane, and this really tough, mean, rough-looking guy sat down beside him. And the guy said, "You better not disturb me. I'm not in a good mood, so just stay away from me." And if you know what's good for you, you'll stay away from me and leave me alone. So the guy was really scared. And they had some the big guy went to sleep. They had some turbulence, and the little skinny guy got nauseous and threw up all over the big guy, all over his shirt and everything.
Oh, no.
And the guy was asleep. And so this little guy was praying like, oh, God, what am I going to do? Give me wisdom, God. Give me wisdom. And finally he got it. He got the wisdom. The mean guy woke up. And so the little guy said, do you feel better now? That's wisdom.
Really funny.
This is James chapter 1, and it's verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which we all do, lack, now not like, if you lack wisdom, he or she should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So one of the great foundations of getting wisdom is you not only fear God, that's the beginning, you not only seek it, search for it, but you just simply ask. Mm-hmm. You ask him for wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the thing for prayer all around, too, is that it says, you know, whenever you pray, and you know, I found that interesting. A couple years ago, I read that for the first time, and I was like, the Bible's literally telling me, like, if I pray and if I, like, don't believe that what I'm praying is, you know, God's going to take care of it, then there's no reason for it to come true. Or, like, it was weird to me that, you know, God looks at how much you truly believe that something will be answered. What do you think about that? That it says, you know, you basically won't have a prayer answered if you don't believe that the prayer will be answered.
Well, I think you got to believe as much as you can. That doesn't mean you have to have mountain-moving faith. One guy in the Bible said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He's saying, I believe all that I can, but I still got some problems. And Jesus healed the guy, even with that little bit of faith. But, I think it's a great comfort to me when I need an answer and I say, Lord, you said in your word, if I lack wisdom, which I obviously do right now in this situation, if I will ask you, you will give me that answer. And you just stand on the Bible by faith. It's like not something you work up. It's like, okay, I believe you tell the truth, Lord, so I'm going to ask you to give me wisdom. Sometimes that wisdom isn't what we want to hear, but we ask him. Always ask him. Now, one of our favorite verses, one of your favorite verse, and one of mine.
It says basically to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding. And I think that's interesting. I look at that, and it means exactly that, is to, you know, not lean on your own understanding, but to trust in the Lord's power. And I feel like a lot of the times we can look at our own circumstances and kind of base our understanding on how certain things are going to go based on our current circumstances. Like, for example, like you can like look at your grades and you're like, oh, I'm totally failing this one class and I haven't studied at all for the final exam. These are my circumstances. I can conclude with my own understanding that, you know, I'm going to fail the class and probably have to retake it. But I think it's cool how there's been multiple times in my own life, and I'm sure in yours, where God's blessed me in ways that did not make any sense with my circumstances. I could have based, you know, my understanding on how certain things were going to go based on my circumstances, but God just totally showed up and did something supernatural. So that way, the thing that I thought was going to happen was not anywhere close to what actually happened. So that's just basically what that's saying, is to not lean on your own understanding, but just to trust in God, that he's got you.
I've seen that happen with you many, many, many times in situations. You've lived by that, and I try to live by that. And the rest of that verse says, okay, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Then it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. And I like that last part. It says, and he will make your path straight.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen people go, they come to the right conclusion, but they go through hell to get there. Like I had somebody tell me one time, well, you know me, I always learn the hard way. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's true. That is true. You seem to take that course. But you didn't have to learn the hard way. You don't have to learn the hard way. There's a straight path. It doesn't have to be a long, winding road. Like the Beatles said, there can be a straight path. So I pray a lot of times, God, give us a straight path. Help us just see what your will is and get us there without us being confused and making all kinds of wrong choices and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, just to go off that for a second, I just feel like obeying God and what he says, it has tons of benefit, but one of the benefits is just simply like what you were saying, it keeps you from having to learn the hard way. A lot of the times whenever we disobey God and kind of take things to our own hands, we might get to where things are going okay afterwards, but we have to go through all this pain in the process. But obeying God is beneficial in that we don't always have to go through that pain. One thing I had in my notes right here was just a personal story from my life on this whole not leaning on your own understanding, but trusting in God verse, where basically, you know this, God got me into, this is one of the most recent blessings that he's put on my life, is that he's gotten me into grad school. There was no way that through my circumstances, I was getting into grad school next semester at all. I had none of the requirements to even apply for the applicant, to grad school for next semester. They had five different requirements, and I did not have any of them. I needed 3 letters of recommendation from professors. I needed to take this 4-hour test and get a good grade on it that cost $220 to take. I had to have a certain number of observation hours and stuff like that. And I just didn't have any of this stuff. So through my own understanding, because of my circumstances, I said, okay, I'm going to have to just have another year of college. And then after that year, I can apply for grad school next year. So I was going to have just a whole year of just not doing a whole lot and maybe get in next year. But God will surprise you, because one day, about a week after the application deadline for grad school had already ended, so even if I had the requirements, there was no way I could even apply. God kind of put me in a certain situation that was opening doors for me. Through a certain set of circumstances, I had to go to my advisor's office to talk about something totally unrelated to grad school. And she said, okay, to get this figured out, go to the head of the department and talk to her about it. I said, okay. And whenever I went to the head of the department to talk to her about it, she started asking me, through conversation. She was like, hey, why are you not applied for grad school? And I explained to her my whole situation. And she basically said, well, here's what I'll do. She was like, I can pull these strings for you to apply late. And then you have all these requirements that you haven't gotten in yet, but you can get those in after you apply. And so it's just crazy how I was trusting the Lord through all of this. I didn't lean on my own understanding. I didn't know what was happening. I just trusted that the Lord was in control and he was doing something. And so I got everything in. I applied late because she let me. I got all the requirements in late. Through the grace of God, I made a good enough grade to get into the program on that big 4-hour test without having to really study for it at all. About 2 months after that, I actually got into grad school, and now I'm going next semester. But just to kind of end all that, that was not a part of my plan, and none of my circumstances was going to allow me to get to that. It was just all 100% God's supernatural intervention. And a lot of my friends were absolutely shocked as to why I and how I got into grad school. So he'll surprise you.
He sure will.
Not lean on your understanding.
There's an old hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." It's scary to trust, but he does make a straight path, and he did in that case. Now, I got to tell you one more thing. And we're going to wrap up, because your grandma is telling me that supper is on the table. But here's okay. The other thing. Yeah, we've talked about how do you get wisdom. First of all, you develop a healthy fear of God in the sense that you're going to obey him and you're not going to take him lightly. You're going to respect him. Secondly, you're going to seek it, whether that be through the Bible, through prayer, through talking to experienced older people who have wisdom. We're going to seek it out. And thirdly, we're going to ask for it, which is sort of like the second one, ask for it. But here's the other part of wisdom, and this runs all the way through Proverbs. I just want to read this. And this is chapter 1, verse 20 to 25. And basically what it's going to say is, can you allow yourself to be corrected by wisdom? Or do you get offended when God's trying to correct you or somebody's trying to correct you? This is what it says, and then we're going to wrap this up. Starting with verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, think of that word, rebuke. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. So that's another hard part of becoming wise, and that's being correctable, being willing to be rebuked, being willing. I don't like it when people tell me I should do something different than I want to do, but that's part of wisdom, especially when the Holy Spirit gives a rebuke and says, you are wrong. You need to apologize to that person, or you need to learn a hard lesson. Swallow your pride. You were wrong. If we can't learn how to accept correction from God or from other people, we will never be wise. That's just part of life. And that's where it's really hard. So there are times when God rebukes us, right?
Oh, yeah. A bunch of times.
So.
And he does it lovingly.
That's right.
Because he wants to build us, and he wants to grow us, and so that way we get stronger and stronger as people, and we can do more and more for him.
Right. Fear God. Search for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. And be humble enough to be corrected when God shows you you need to change. How's that?
That's good. That's good.
That's a good foundation. And we'll talk about other subjects. But thank you, Dalton, for doing this with me. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're always a delightful guest.
Well, you're always a delight to talk to, so I appreciate it.
All right. Now that this Mutual Admiration Society has come to a close, I'll talk to you later. I love you.
All right. Love you too, Big Fa.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
when morning breaks and I awake, then I will rise and lift my eyes to you. My hands raised, and I will pray and start each day anew.
That's our show for tonight. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Me and my 80.